The scripture reading this morning will be taken from John chapter 4, verses 3 through 10. He left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
Appreciate your presence this morning as we come to worship the God of heaven. I don't believe there's anything greater in all this world than our dedication to the God of heaven. I kind of wish I'd taken Jim up on the... I didn't know he was offering to speak today in my place, and I appreciate the effort that brethren do to fill in with another brother. Just a week ago, I was in the emergency room, and I've taken my pills and stuff, and the infection that I had was kind of somewhat down, a little bit dizzy at the time, but I'll try to do the best I can. Talking about personal work, you know, as we're about ready to have New Year's resolutions, and I don't know where we write them down or how we do them, sometimes we don't good job of following up or anything, but you know, all individuals have the individual Christians have the responsibility to share and to carry the gospel to a lost world. And so that means that we have a job to do. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." You know, as men like Billy Graham and others have gone to all the world, and I'm impressed of how many people gather at their conventions and big tent meetings or whatever it may be. But you know, you do a better job of preaching and saving the souls of men than those men did. Every Christian here could do a better job than what Billy Graham did. That sounds kind of strange. He went to all the world. I don't think he preached the gospel, but it says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he wouldn't teach that you had to be baptized. He said if he taught baptism, he'd lose half of his audience. So you could go out and tell men how to be saved better than he ever did. And that's sad indeed that he left the world with the thoughts that they're going to go to heaven and their desperate need for salvation, and they didn't get it. We thank you for your presence. The question is, how do we do personal work? You know, when I was in the working, and some of the brethren know me here and ask me to do different things and all, here's a forklift out here that's got two wheels in the front and two wheels in the back, and one wheel's just up in the air. It's going around with three wheels. You put it in gear, and a little bit it goes, and then it quits. So you talk to where you get equipment and their mechanics. They tell you something to do, and none of that works. So how are you going to get the job done? You know, that's like the sharing of the gospel. How are we going to share that gospel with other people? And sometimes we need to realize, where's the best place to share the gospel? And so you think about that. What's the best place? You know, and I think there's a lot of good places to share the gospel. But you know, we don't always find the best place. And in the reading this morning, it was about Jesus sitting at the well, and then a well that Jacob had built or dug and probably had it lined with brick around it. And I've been around wells, but it went down over 100 feet deep. It was a reliable well. It was 9 feet here at the top, and it's still here today. It had served for 1,800 years, and now it's 2,000 more. It's 4,000 years. That well is still there and working, to my knowledge. And so where's the best place? You know, when Jesus is at the well, and you begin to think, well, what can I do at a well? And so as a woman of Samaria came up, he asked her a drink. And so our lesson will be somewhat on that today. You know, in our case, the Lord tells us what to do and how to do it. And then he has his example. And the Bible is our manual to go by of how to do personal work. One of the best places to do personal work and to talk to people is it like in an audience like this, that we have comfortable seats to sit in, we have maybe lights to go by, we have air conditioning or heating, whatever it takes, we have a board or a PowerPoint, something. Where's the best place to do personal work? And you're not believe it's in the local church, that we could invite people to come and to be with us. The problem is to get outsiders to come inside, and that's almost like a plague to them. They just won't do that. So then we have to do something else. Our problem is to take them to outsiders. You know, to your kitchen table or to their kitchen table, and with an open Bible and with an open mind, to study the Word of God. And that's so wonderful. It's an ideal place to do all of this. And Jesus at this time, however, was at a well. He wasn't at a convenient place like this where he could sit down and relax and talk to people. We know that Jesus was thirsty. He was at the well, and it said that it was like he was at his wit's end to some extent. He'd come several miles that day, and now he's sitting at a well. And then he was hungry too. His disciples had gone to get meat. And then sometimes we think, that's just a time to relax. Don't do anything. But here came a woman of Samaria up to him and a little bit. And where's the best place? And who should we teach? You know, our thoughts about, we're oftentimes prejudiced. We think, well, it won't do any good, even in the gospel meeting, to go to them. I've known them for 20 or 30 years, and they're not interested in the gospel. And they're too busy and things of that nature. But the most people that we need to go to and consider is those that maybe we don't think you'll do any good. And that's what we find popped up in the Bible all through, where different occasions that those people worship the God of heaven. So who should we teach? One other thing that I had in mind, and it's when should we do it? You know, when we do a day's work, come home at night, wash our face and hands and sit down and maybe to a meal, and maybe we look at the paper or watch TV a little bit or something, and then we think, well, I'll go out and do something, maybe a half hour and talk to someone, And then we're holding up the paper like my daddy did. He'd be asleep holding the paper. And then he'd drop the paper and it'd wake him up. And that's how sometimes, you know, when are we going to do it? And you know, we just don't find the time to do it. And yet you know that that neighbor, you knew me day by day, and you knew I was astray, and you never mentioned him to me. So these questions popped up, how to do personal work, the best place to do it. Who should we teach? And when should we do it? We're going to wait for an opportunity where it's just right. And sometimes preachers, they'll call up a person at night and say, well, I'll be over there and we'll study for a little while and everything. But sometimes we just don't do that. And so we go astray from that. And who should we teach? You know, one of the biggest things that jumps out to us, the most unlikely prospects, are sometimes the great characters, the Bible. You'd think, well, why would Jesus want to teach Peter? Why would you want to teach Peter? He got angry quick. He cursed the Lord. He was a violent person in many respects. He denied the Lord three times, but yet the Lord put him in as a pillar of the church. Sometimes we think about Matthew. Why would Jesus have called Matthew to be a disciple when he was like in rebellion to the Roman government? He was considered that. As a tax collector, he put that money in his pocket. You think about Saul and Paul. Why would Jesus choose them? Because they blasphemed and they persecuted the church and going to put them in prison and put them to death. And they held up Simon's clothes when he died. You know, we're intrigued by people like Luke and maybe a physician or a dentist. And you know, if you spent time with them, you know that's our problem. Who are we going to do it? If we spent time, they don't have time to talk to us. They got their practice and everything. But at the same time, if you converted them, they had a world of people that came to them on a regular basis that they could just little here and there begin to teach something about what they ought to do as a Christian. And that personal work could go on. You know, but it all changed when this Samaritan person came up. And the Bible says the Samaritan woman. The Samaritans were half-breeds. They'd gone away in captivity and come back after they'd married heathen nations, and they were half-breeds. And here came a woman. Not only was she a Samaritan, and people even walked clear around Samaria, because that's almost like it would contaminate you if you did it. So they were looked down upon terribly, and a woman was just a second-class person back then. And the Bible uses this three times, a Samaritan woman, a woman of Samaria, the Samaritan woman, it says in the Bible. And so there were some strikes against her. And how would you teach someone like that that was not even looked up to and recognized? You know, you don't just teach anyhow. If you're teaching the Bible, you don't teach it with unconcern. You don't teach it recklessly or carelessly. You use every opportunity to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And your life should display of what you're teaching. And when you're teaching someone, a word fitly spoken, it's like apples of gold in pictures of silver. And we'll not take the time to go ahead and read these verses or anything, but when Jesus came to this woman and offered her or asked her for a drink, and said, what are you asking me a drink for? The well is deep and you don't have anything to get it with. And so Jesus said, if you'd ask me, I'd give you living water. And that's true today. If we just ask Jesus, he offers us living water, a spring flowing up within us that would never go dry. And that's what Christian living is all about. And Jesus offered that to that woman. How would that teaching go when we would offer people the gospel of Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus did something that we can't. When he came to this woman and asked her to bring her husband, you know, Jesus was willing to share the gospel with anyone. You bring your husband, let's talk. And of course, Jesus knew beyond that. And she said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, you rightly said, you've had five husbands, and the person you're living with right now is not your husband. You're living in adultery. You know, that might not be a very good terminology, and sometimes we don't have to be bold about it, but we have to tell them where they stand. You know, we love individuals, but we hate the sin they're doing. And when our country says that we have to honor homosexual people and honor abortions and all the things that's going on, we can be kind to people, but that sin that they're doing need be treated like a sledgehammer upon them. Because sin is what separates us from God, and that we know, and we need to live that way. In closing, you know, when this woman went back, and after talking to Jesus, at first she started out, she called him a sir. No, excuse me. She called him a Jew. And you can recognize Jews today by their dress. And Jesus being there at the well, and she coming up and wanting water herself, Jesus asked water. And she said, what are you doing? Asking water from me, who am a woman of Samaria. Three times that said. And then Jesus gets on down to some of the meat of his subject, and he's careful about it because he's talking about fleshly water and spiritual water. And you can get around to that. We all need water to drink and to live and to cleanse by and maybe feed our livestock, but it was kind of a messy place to be there at that well because people came with their livestock and watered their livestock there. We read in the Old Testament, Rebecca maybe, that she was watering the camels of somebody else. You think of all the drinks that camels could use, and she's there doing her job. And so it was kind of a messy place. But it's also a place, she didn't come to just socialize. She came there because of the dire necessities of life. And when Jesus sees her, he talks to her about her husbands and who she's living with. And so Jesus not only is aware, we couldn't do the same thing. We don't know her life. We don't know her sin or what all she's doing, but Jesus did in his life. He knew her, and he had an answer for her life. And he made her discuss that with him. That's something we can't do, but we do know that all people sin and that there's a remedy, there's a remedy for sin. There's also consequences for sin. You know, inasmuch as this woman had talked to Jesus, they weren't of the caliber or anything, but she went back and talked to her people of Samaria, and they listened and they believed. And you know, it's like a chain reaction. When she went back, the people of Samaria came. It's kind of like a chain reaction that was on TV one day. It told about driving down into the fog. One car hit another car. And this was an actual thing, that before it was over, 100 cars had been hit and damaged, and there were some that even died because of this. And you know the chain reaction when she went back and told those people, and then they could hear the gospel, is the greatest thing in the world. How do you do personal work? Where's the best place? They were at the well over here. 100 and some feet deep and 9 feet here, and there was Jesus, and not a very good place, and Jesus was hungry and thirsty, and yet he forgot about that, and he talked about spiritual things, about living things. Who do you teach? You're going to teach a woman that's second class, that's a Samaritan, they're half-breeds, and when are you going to do it? You know, when you have the opportunity, and it's right then. I've turned down opportunities. I had opportunity. Like you go to either a state park or something, and I know brethren have done this, and look at the beauty of God in nature and the swinging bridge and all those things, and someone comes along and you say, isn't this beautiful? And you could say something about God. You can do personal work different ways to bring them to the knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Personal work. It's important that we do it. You know, it's been said that if there's only one person in a congregation and he teaches one other person, the members double that year. And if the next year those two people talk to a person apiece, it would be four people. And if those four people talked to someone and converted them, there'd be eight people and 16 and 32. You know, in 35 years, you'd touch the whole world. If you could convert someone and the other person convert, everyone in the world would be saved in 35 years. And we don't realize the importance of us doing a little work in the kingdom. But the results of it, it's beyond our comprehension. You know, it's an awesome job that we have to do. We need to share the gospel. There's so much to do, and there's so little time to do it. And so the gospel's invitation is that every service, when we get together, that whosoever will may come and partake of the gospel. But we need to do personal work. We don't always find the best place or the best time or who to teach. But we're out there to do the job wherever we can. Sometimes maybe people seeing you getting ready every Sunday or Wednesday night going to services. And they understand you got on maybe your best clothes. It might not be the greatest, but it's the best you have. You're going to services. And you know, you could ask that neighbor, would you like to go with me? And spend the day or take them out and eat or so many ways. But God's invitation is even this morning while together we stand and sing, whosoever will may come.